This is Pastor Jim for the congregation of Rock Springs First Methodist Church. Question: how can God's people live in a godless society? Let's look at 1 Peter. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. So, how do God's people live where all around us we see Satan's hand at work in the world? Do they blend in and assimilate? Do they go along to get along? Now is the time to stand up and speak out. We believe that the people of God are made for this moment, made to be temples and vessels of His Holy Spirit, sharing the gospel of hope, love, grace, and faith. If you're looking for a church home, you're invited to join us at 10:30 Sunday mornings, 1515 Egger Street, above the high school here in Rock Springs. We are a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
The following worship service was broadcast and recorded live on Sunday, November 14th, 2021, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, a traditional, Christ-centered, Bible-based faith community worshiping in the spirit of our Wesleyan heritage.
Well, good morning, and God bless you. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Here we are, Lord, your people, your church. Our desire is to be a light in this dark world. Teach us, enable us for service, and give us willing hearts and hands. Open our eyes that we may see your vision for this place and our part in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us begin in silence and let us center our hearts, our minds, and let our spirit be centered upon God as we go to this time in prayer. Let us pray. Merciful God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, our Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord. We come in his name as he intercedes for us, seated at your right hand. He's our intercessor. He is our help. We pray to you this morning to hear our hearts and prayers, that your Spirit would move within us, and that if there are words or thoughts or pains or feelings that we cannot put into words, Father, may your Spirit commune with our spirit in a way that we find you there, comforted, strengthening, holding. Father, we bring our hearts before you and the needs upon them, the ones we've spoken aloud, silently upon our hearts. And Father, it's a realization and a truth that we all have some place in our own lives that we struggle. There are places where we have doubts and fears, past hurts and pains, unforgiven and maybe anger that just kind of simmers under the surface. Father, help us to let those things go, to have you forgive us our sins, strengthen us that we could let go of pain, sorrow, and anguish. And Father, we'd pray that you help us with worry, care, and concern, and remind us of the words of Christ, what one of us can add one inch of height by worrying about tomorrow. So, Father, help us to live in the present, to be grateful for what we have, to let go of what has been lost, and to long for a relationship with you that ensures our tomorrow, that ensures true joy, peace, and contentment. No matter what we may face, we can find that in you and you alone. For the needs within our church and community, Father, we pray and lift them up. Father, we pray this morning that the people in our community would know you, have a renewed faith, and that your Spirit would pour out upon us in a spirit of revival, reunion, rejoicing, and unification, that the divisions of denomination would be put aside, and that Christ could be glorified, Christ could be proclaimed, and grace shared among the peoples. And Father, as we pray for our community, we pray this same prayer for our nation and in the world around us. Father, we pray that our missionaries in Haiti are safe. We're not sure of where they may be. We haven't been able to reach them. So Father, we lift them before you today. You know all things. Father, we pray for missionaries in Zimbabwe. There too, we haven't been able to hear from our missionaries. Father, we pray for those serving in Senegal. There too, we haven't heard. Around the world, peace is in question. Father, we pray that hearts will turn to you, for it's in you and through you and by you that we can know true peace, true hope, true presence, redemption, salvation, forgiveness, and healing. So, Father, while we pray for many things, we pray the most that there be a renewal and revival among your people, that we can go out and share grace, hope, and the message of Christ. Father, we pray for the leaders in our communities, our leaders in our nation, and nations around the world. We pray their hearts would be turned towards you, that truth would be the norm, and Father, that they would truly seek to be servants instead of served, that they would not want power, but to share power. Father, we pray today for those who are sick in nursing homes, shut-ins in their own homes, for doctors, nurses, those who serve our nation and serve in our communities in whatever capacity it may be. We pray for those who serve. And Father, we pray for those who depend on those who serve, who give of their time, gifts, and talents. And now we'd ask, Father, that you hear us as we continue in heart and join in voice to pray as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our reading for this morning is Mark chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings. Then Jesus asked him, Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down. When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished? Then Jesus began to say to them, Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, I am he, and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. the Word of God for the people of God.
Many times I get asked questions, and one of the questions I am frequently asked, I get emails, I get text messages, I get asked in person, and just this past week as I was meeting with a family, they asked me this question too, and that is, Pastor, are we living in the last days? Pastor, are we living in the last days? Now, we as Christians hold to the promise of Christ that He will come again. We're going to head into Advent, and I'm going to do a series on that, but at any rate, we hold to the fact that Jesus is coming again, and that He's bringing with Him His kingdom, and we say it in the creed, and we should believe that He will send His only Son, who will, from the right hand of the Father, whence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. We believe in those things. They are tenets of our faith. And I'm going to guess that here about, 2,000 odd years after Christ, there have been many times in history when people have asked that question and sometimes come to mind. We can remember plagues that plagued the world and millions of people, bubonic plague and other things like that. And I'm going to guess that at that time people wondered, is this it? There's this huge calamity. We've got the Crusades where there were wars all over. We have the conquest of the Romans, and we've got all of the different wars forward from that time. And from Christ forward, we have all kinds of wars and rumors of wars. We have national wars. I'm going to guess that probably for some people, they wanted to know if World War I was the end of the age. Is this going to be, is Christ coming back? I'm going to guess that we arrive at World War II and we have people asking then if Christ is coming back. Is this the end of the world? It fits all the criteria, doesn't it? It is nation against nation. 11 million people killed by the Germans, Jews and dissidents of all kinds. We see that that was indeed a world war, Japan rising up against the United States, and people were wondering then, is this the end? Is Christ coming now? And then we have other times, and I remember, and I'm going to make some political statements so that not so much to make a political statement as to mark time. I remember in my lifetime that John Fitzgerald Kennedy and a Bay of Pigs incident where the Russians had brought missiles into Cuba, people wondered then if that was the aggression of the bear from the north as they had read it in the Bible. And this was this the signs of the ends of time? I remember under the Carter era, I remember airplane hijackings and terrorist actions and military presences around the world, and the upheaval was in some of those places. And I remember hearing people when I had gotten back stateside wondering if this too was a time. You had all the civil rights movement, you had the Watts riots, you had all of these things that were going on, gas lines, and even in odd days, and food shortages, and I heard people say, is this the end of times? And then we arrive at the year 2000. How many of you remember that Y2K thing, where everything was going to collapse? And I said, we were afraid our computers were all going to quit working. I said, well, go get your computer and set it for 1999 at 2357 and watch and see. It will do nothing. All it'll do is reset, and the world didn't end. How many of you remember that? It was so, I told people, they kept asking me back then, is this the end? Do we need to get guns? Do we need to get groceries? Do we get bombs? It was really that bad. I don't know how bad it was here, but back east, it was scary business. And I'm thinking, I want to play golf. Everything's going to be fine. They said, well, your cars are going to quit. Your car does not care what day of the week it is. Even now, with all the junk that your car's got, the worst thing you'll do is the clock will be wrong. I mean, relax. It's, you know, now if there's an EMP, that's a different story. So how many of you folks drive a car newer than 2016? You got a car newer than 2016? Then if there's an EMP, you're done. After that, the Federal Communications Commission, who regulates that stuff, required no insulation to guard against it. Prior to that, it is. So what is the state of things? Where are we? What's going on? When you read your Bible, when you're studying your Bible, what I'm going to tell you is super important to you and what you're doing as you read it, because it is so important to put your scripture in its context. Jesus, we talked about last week, Jesus is coming out of the temple. He's been up there teaching. This is temple 2, okay? This is temple 2. The temple that Solomon built, that David had all the materials for, that was built under the reign of Solomon, is destroyed in 587 B.C. The Assyrians destroy the temple, destroy Jerusalem, and take all of the Israelites hostage. They leave the sick, the lame, and all of those behind. The city's destroyed. They burn the gate with fire, and the whole thing's destroyed. By the time Jesus comes around, you have Herod, not the Herod that's in charge in the day of Jesus, but a forerunner to Herod, who began the rebuilding of the temple after the Maccabean revolt in about 90 BC. They had, by the time of Jesus, the project was finished. It had been going on for about 40 to 60 years. Folks, that's quite a building project. But when you don't have anything, you're having to scrounge materials, it takes a little while. But by the time Jesus visits the temple, in our previous text, it's brand shiny new. It's completely rebuilt. And they tell, historians tell us that if the temple stood today, as in the day of Solomon, that it would have been one of the greatest wonders in the world. That it was the prettiest, well-constructed. It was said to fit together within the walls that you could not see the seams in the stones. It looked to be more laid by the hand of God than by man. So you've got that beautiful temple. For any Jewish person, that history's plain. This is temple two. They know that. They know the first one was destroyed because they had been disobedient to God. They knew that they had lost everything because they had violated Sabbath and they had not listened and honored God. For any Jew, the visit to this temple, the one that Jesus and the disciples are in, is the greatest honor that they could have. It was the trick. It was the thing. And remember, Jesus picked not the outstanding rich people for these guys, common everyday people, to be in this temple, to be a part of the teachings in this temple, to be in the inner parts and the workings of this temple, blew them away. The Gospel of John, Revelation, and the four little Johns are the only books of the New Testament written after the fall of the temple in 70 AD. Every other New Testament book is written before the fall of the temple. Mark, the one we're using today, is written before the fall of the temple. When Mark is writing this, it hasn't happened yet. Did I get that finally to where you could write it down? When you're studying your Bible, when you're reading your New Testament, please know that the perception of those who are writing before 70 AD, the temple is still present. Those writing after 70 AD's perception is, it's happened. Which are Luke, which are John, those two authors, which also would put Acts in that plus 70 side. So now let's go back to Mark. That's just a study tool for you. That has nothing to do with the scripture that we're going to read. That has nothing to do with the message that we're going to share. That's a study tool for you. That's a thing for you to use as you read your New Testament to kind of keep in mind that this is significant, that the temple does get destroyed in 70 AD. The Romans siege Jerusalem after a revolt. They starve the people. They torture the people. They fight on and off. And in 70 AD, Jerusalem falls. The Romans go in and they destroy the temple. They don't leave one stone on another. That's where we want to pick up in Mark 13 this morning. That's just a study tool. How many of you already knew all of that? So maybe it'll be useful to you. Maybe it'll be useful to you. So join me now in chapter 13 and let's get on with this. As he came out of the temple, the disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what great buildings." Look, they're amazed. They're marveling at it. And they may have been taken aback that Jesus wasn't so impressed with the building. And they look at it and they say, "What large buildings?" And Jesus said, "Do you see these great buildings? Like, do you really see them? You're calling them to my attention." He says, "Well, look at them. Look at them again. Not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." For that Jewish person hearing that, they hear more than just the temple's going. This is times two. That means it's going to be another act of God. And that means God's going to do something great. That means God's going to change things. That means God's going to come on the scene. That means they're going to be, judged again. Oh, man, we're in trouble. Bad things. Yeah, we don't know what that means, but it's a sign of something. Back in 587, it was a bad sign. Maybe this one won't be so much. So now he goes over and he's sitting across on the hill. And Peter and James and John and Andrew come and they talk to him and say, "Hey, you can't leave something like that hanging. You cannot. You've got to tell us, what does all of that mean?" So he says to them, at that time he says, "Tell us, when will this be and what will be the sign of all these things when they're about to be accomplished?" You see, they had in mind that Jesus was going to do something big. They had in mind that Jesus was there to set up a new kingdom. And their problem was they just knew that this new temple was going to be the center of this new kingdom. Because they knew that that temple was a temple of God. That temple was built to honor God and to give God a place. In other words, to put God in his place, to put God in the center of their nation, to make God convenient for them. And they would go and they would find God at the temple. And they argued about all that stuff all the time about you can't worship outside of Jerusalem. And it was a big thing. And now this temple, Jesus just said, it's going to be torn down. How could you be the Messiah? How can we have a new Israel if you're going to tear down the temple? Do you see the symbolism of what this may be going through their minds? Is if this temple falls, that means we've been judged. Or there's something new that's going to be different. You see, the temple had become a symbol for Israel's religious connection. You see, it had become a place where they could say, our God, the one true God, could be found. In a way, it was a box to put God in. And that way God didn't have to come out of the temple and be involved in your everyday life. And the only time you had to worry about it was when you went to the temple and you sacrificed your animals, your turtle doves or your little goats. You see, it made your religion convenient. And then the scribes and Pharisees, who Jesus had warned us about, they had control and they could make the laws and you had to obey them and all of those things. All of a sudden, Jesus says it's going to be torn down. So he says to them, this whole system that you know is going to be destroyed. They didn't lose that. They didn't get lost on that. They want to know, when's it going to happen? So what are going to be the signs? And Jesus gives them the signs, if you will, the state of things. In verse 4, he says, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray." Folks, you need to let those words soak in again today. There are many people today who offer you a cure. There are many people today that offer you a solution. There are many people today that offer you a comfort. There are many things today that people are looking for to show them the way through. And I'm going to guess that in the times past in human history, when these things have been prevalent, that there have been many people who claimed they had an answer, that they had a cure for it. And I'm not talking about corona. I'm talking about a cure for the human condition, a redemption, a salvation. They may wave a MAGA hat, or they may you know, do a Joe hat, or whatever. They may support their senators. They may support all their stuff. But folks, the answer to the world's problems and the answer to this question of these disciples isn't a human answer. It's a God answer. And he says to them, "Then Jesus began to say to them, 'Beware, neither will one lead you astray. Many will come in my name and say, I am the Messiah. I am He.'" There are many today who falsely proclaim to represent Christ. "Pastor, what do you mean by that?" Anyone who says they can forgive you your sin is acting as a false Christ. Let that soak in. Jesus Christ forgives you your sins. He hasn't transferred that power to a human yet. I don't think He will. If somebody tells you, this is one of my favorites. If somebody tells you that I've got a message to you from God, you need to be careful. How many of you know Jesus as your Savior? Do you think He don't know where you are? Do you think that if He's got something to say to you, He can't reach you? Maybe you're not listening. He has to send somebody to say, hey, get the door. Somebody's knocking. "Many will come and say, I am He. They will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." We saw that, haven't we? History has taught us that. It's going on now. How many of you envision that when Christ says this, that means we're about ready to go to fist? That nation is risen against nation, and that means that we're about to fight. We're about to send bombs. We're about to send men in. How many of you envision that's nation against nation? What about economic battles? What about political battles? Nation rising against nation in those power struggles as well. How about earthquakes? Have we heard anything about earthquakes? Sure. We supposed to got a tsunami on the East Coast from one not long ago, wasn't we? I don't remember the whole thing, but there's earthquakes, and I've never seen so many special TV programs and YouTube videos that have showed up about the volcano in Yellowstone. I'm glad I live where I do. If that puppy goes off, I at least don't have to worry about the cold winters that are coming. I'll be toasted early. You know, you won't have to be one of those living in the post-apocalyptic world of fallout and ash. You know, we'll just be done. It'll just be over. We see so much of that station. We see so much fear-mongering in our country today. We see people who are trying to stir up conflicts rising against each other, nations, counties, people even rising. I've got this thing, these denominations, I have to be honest, are driving me crazy today. It's all this stuff. We're right. You're right. We're wrong. You're right. Folks, it isn't a denomination. It's about a relationship. It isn't about the name on the sign. It's about who's in your heart. We worry about all of this stuff. Man, people are, how many of you pay any attention to TV ratings? Man, you should go check out the Nielsens. You should see what people are watching. Holy jeepers, you people ain't got nothing to do but watch CNN and Fox. I've never seen the millions of people at a time. You know, that's why they're unemployed. They quit work so they can watch the news. Folks, you think those news stations are telling you truth? Every one of them's got an agenda. Nation rises against nation. People against people. Jesus says there's many that are going to tell you this is the way. This is how to save it. This is how to stop it. There's going to be many false who claim to be messiahs, leaders, deliverers. They rise up. I've saw so many in my lifetime. How many of you remember the Heaven's Gate group? You heard about a fellow named Jim Jones. Have you heard about all of these people who led people astray? And the reason they could lead people astray is people wasn't looking for the truth. They were looking for something that suited them. That's why you have crowds that watch this particular channel and this particular channel. It suits them. You see, Israel wanted God to come their way. They wanted Him to show up on their time. They wanted Him to restore the kingdom they wanted. These disciples are a little disturbed that things ain't going the way they had envisioned them. Many people today are disturbed because it isn't going the way that suits them. We should be worried that it's going the way that suits God. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pains. Folks, I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but I can give you a little more information on it. When He decides to. Until then, don't worry about tomorrow. It has enough to concern you in today. I told Sunday school this morning, sometimes I would just wish that all we got was a little bit of local news and never saw a national TV broadcast in Rock Springs. I think a lot of problems would just disappear. I believe a lot of concerns would just hit the road. Folks, there's an enemy out there that is stirring us against each other, that is causing nation to rise against nation, and we're letting him play with us. The devil has no power that we don't give him. Jesus is coming back when the last soul's saved, when the last heart is turned to God. God will hold on until then. But when that last soul is saved, and I don't know when that'll be, only God knows that. See, Jesus said, I don't know, only God knows. Only God knows when that one is. Well, Pastor, what do we do during the meantime? Things are bad, things are tough. Is your God that small that you think you've got the answer? Trust the big G God. Stay faithful. And follow Him. Don't look for an answer in a political situation. Look for an answer in the Word of God and in prayers. Trust that God's got it. Read the book. Read it. God's people, the true ones who have been faithful in following God, looking to God and trusting to God, God has always brought them through whatever it was. Whether it was a wilderness for 40 years, out of slavery and bondage in Egypt, across the sea in front of Pharaoh's soldiers, into a promised land, or to a prophet who he hid on a mountain, who cried out, I'm the only one. And God said, oh, you need to come and look. You see, God's got it or God doesn't. He's on the throne or not. We trust Him or not. Folks, you can't be lukewarm. You can't straddle the fence. I've scattered this message far and wide this morning. I've covered a lot of turf and ground, but here's where it comes down. What is the state of things? Christians, we need to get our focus back. We need to get our focus off the things in this world and put them on the things in heaven. We need to be faithful in what God's calling us to here and where we are. How many of you think you can really change anything in Washington, D.C.? But you can in Rock Springs, Wyoming. And if we can change things in Rock Springs, Wyoming, get a little revival going on, we might change things over in Green River too. Lord only knows, they just need to figure things out. I'm picking on my Green River folks this morning. They've done heard all this. And I'm going to tell you, those people up in Gillette, they've just got to get their act together. Have you been up there lately? You should. And Rawlings Anybody been to Rawlings lately? Them folks are just plumb different. I mean, that's just the way I'm just picking. But if we start in Rock Springs, the revivals moves out, guess what? We can change legislature in Cheyenne. If we change legislature in Cheyenne to reflect Christian morals, values, and ethics, it can spread to other states. And what happens when all the states have had revival? What happens? God turns it around. Church, there's not a political answer to the problems we're in, but there's certainly a godly answer to the problems we're in. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. If there's wars and rumors of wars, so be it. God's got it or not. Live by faith. Hope is in God, not in humanity. But God wants to redeem us, bless us. He wants to heal our land. He wants to heal our hearts. And it's truth that sets us free. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. I had told Carrie earlier today that I had struggled with where this message would go today. Usually I've kind of got a clear view of where things are going and where God's calling the message to be. And I have prayed through and prayed through and prayed through. And I'm going to pray through now that God uses something in this message to touch your heart. I pray this morning that God uses it in some way. Not because it was a good message, not because it was a bad message, but because He can. I have to trust Him in that. If I'm asking you to trust Him, I have to trust Him too. So I just want to pray this prayer. Father, I would pray today that somewhere in this time together, that hearts hear You, that souls are stirred by You, that Your word is proclaimed, that something is into the hearts and lives of us among You today. Father, somewhere in this, may there be a message that rings true in our hearts by Your grace, by Your Holy Spirit, not by anything I will have shared, but by what You have done in our hearts. Hear our hearts and prayers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May we go in God's grace, in God's presence, through God's mercy, to share God's love into the world around us by what we do and not only what we say. And truly, may God go with you, bless you, and keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded and broadcast live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Please visit our website at www.rockspringsumc.org or on our Facebook page. Our email address is rockspringsumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Our mailing address is 1515 Edgar Street, Rock Springs, Wyoming, 82901. Our phone number is 307-362-5334. You are invited to join us Sundays on Zoom, YouTube, or in face-to-face worship as we observe all social distancing and safe practices.